So it's Romans 13, verses 8 to 10. Love for the day is near. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, Jude is going to bring us God's word this morning. I should explain, we've got two readings this morning, so they'll be in two parts. The second one will come along a little later.
Morning, everybody. I was going to begin this morning with a story that I'd read recently about a modern-day Good Samaritan. And then yesterday, the East Anglican Times printed this. And it's not the same story, but it's exactly the sort of thing that I would have been referring to. And I've printed it out, and I'm going to read it to you. And some of you may already have read it, but it's a lovely story. There was a young mum of four, and she was on the verge of tears because she's looking to find the name of a kind stranger who helped her. She wishes to remain anonymous, but she was walking back home on St. Margaret's Road in Lowestoft on Friday, this last Friday, after dropping her five-year-old at school. So she's a mum of four and her eldest is five. Now, I was a mum of three under three, so I know how difficult that can be at times, especially on a cold January morning. And she dropped her five-year-old off at school, and her three younger children started playing up. She said they were moaning about being cold and being hungry, and they wouldn't keep their gloves on, and they were just as children do, and stirring one another up. The baby started crying in his buggy, and she said, "I just didn't know how we were going to get home." It was a windy day, and the children were not calming down in any way at all. She thought she ought to call for a taxi, but she said she could feel herself getting more and more and more stressed. She said, "I felt completely helpless and was almost in tears. I didn't know what to do." But then she came. A kind woman approached her and asked if she would like a hand. She said she was so reassuring and so very good with the children. She was there when I needed it most. This Good Samaritan stayed with the family for 25 minutes, making her children laugh and asking them about their lives. The first taxi that came refused to take the family because it was too many people to get into the car, so they had to wait for a larger one to come. The lady said it wasn't a problem to stay with them, and she continued to chat. And she knows nothing about this woman, except she said she seemed to be about 50 or 60, wearing a purple raincoat and dark grey mittens. And now she's trying to find out who she is. She told me, she said, that she cared for all her grandchildren and lives on Mount Pleasant. I wish I knew her name. I'd just like to say thank you. And that's a story from so close to today about the sort of thing we're going to be thinking about and talking about this morning: loving one another. We need to be aware of opportunities to do God's work. I felt that that lady who stopped, she must have been going somewhere, she must have been doing something. If the woman with the children had dropped her eldest off at school, it must have been reasonably early in the morning. So you're not out at that time unless you're going somewhere. And yet she gave up the time. And she spent the time with that anxious and frustrated mother. Paul tells us, love is the fulfillment of the law of God. For Christians, I think love is the meaning of life. If you want to know what God expects of us, he expects us to love our neighbour, whoever that neighbour may be. Perhaps a mum with three difficult children on a cold, blurry January morning. The story I was going to tell you ended with the words, don't be too busy to see God's opportunities when they arise for loving. And that woman saw the opportunity. We're also told to love our children, to love our spouse, and to love our family. And we're told to love God. And I've probably said before that there are times when I find loving God quite hard. Probably because I don't quite understand how to love him. I love the thought of God. I love what he's given to our planet, the beauty, the music, the animals, the people. And I know all this comes from him. And I know that the love I have for these things comes from him. I also know that the love I have for my friends and my family come from him. But do I really love him? I honestly don't know. I'm grateful. I know I don't deserve the love he has for me, in which I completely believe. The love that sent Jesus. The love that Jesus lived. Jesus, who, as we were so beautifully reminded last week by John, is both God and man. And Elizabeth is going to come and read us our second reading now from Mark. And it's from the Message.
The most important commandment. One of the religious scholars came up, hearing the lively exchanges of question and answer, and seeing how sharp Jesus was in his answers, he put in his question, which is most important of all the commandments? Jesus said, the first in importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is a second. Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. The religion scholar said, a wonderful answer, teacher, so lucid and accurate. That God is one, and there is no other. And loving him with all passion and intelligence and energy, and loving others as well as you love yourself, why, that's better than all offerings and sacrifices put together. When Jesus realized how insightful he was, he said, you're almost there, right on the border of God's kingdom. After that, no one dared ask a question.
And it's this man who also is God, who says in verse 30 of the reading we've just heard, that we should love God with all our passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Different set of words than those in the NIV, which we're also familiar with. And it is one of the reasons I love the message, because it makes me think in a slightly different way sometimes. NIV says that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And with all our passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. That's the voice of the message. Well, I'm trying. And Jesus goes on to say that we should love others as well as we love ourselves. That's not easy either. Taking care of others isn't always an easy option. Sometimes, as we've just heard, it means living far away from what is your main residence in order to look after your mother. I bet the lady in East Anglia had got that in her heart too. In the earlier reading from the Romans, Paul is assuming that we will do more than simply keep the rules. We are told to be moral people. But our being obedient to the thou shalt nots does not necessarily mean that we're living the way that Jesus wants us to. Obeying the law is the beginning of Christian discipleship, not the end. Putting on the mind of Christ means living a life of love, with all the hurts and wounds that loving without expectations ends up with. This week has seen the feast, although we rarely celebrate it as a feast, of the Epiphany. And the word comes from the Greek, as many of our church words do. And it means appearing or revealing. During this brief liturgical season between Christmas and Lent, and I'm so glad it's a brief season so that we can work through the prayer and fasting of Lent and then come to the wonders and the glory of Easter and spring and better weather. And during this time, this quite short period, we are invited to leave miraculous births and angel choirs behind us and look for and seek the love, the majesty and the power of God. During this time, God almost parts a curtain for brief moments, such as the miraculous arrival of the men from the east who were looking for a king and had brought with them gifts to give. And many thanks to Tony, who found a copy of this picture by Rembrandt for me yesterday, which I just love. And it's one of the few pictures that shows Jesus as a believable baby instead of, as I'm afraid to say, often he's portrayed as a tiny, wizened little dwarf. But he looks like a baby there. And he looks as if he can be worshipped. And these men, not kings, we're not told they were kings. We're not told they came on camels. These men were looking for a king. And they had brought gifts for a king. And in this picture too is a box of gold, but it may only have been a few coins. It may only have been a few grains of frankincense or myrrh. But they were important gifts. And so often we question why. In our Christian loving, in our Christian living, it doesn't really matter whether these three men headed towards the conjunction of Jupiter with Venus, or whether they headed towards a star which God had placed for that particular purpose. It doesn't matter. What matters is that they looked and they saw and they came and they loved. And they found what they had been looking for. Found the revealing of a child, a special being, a saviour, one who was both God and man. I would have loved to have been there to see their faces when they found him, wouldn't you? It must have been amazing. It must have been so heartwarming for Mary. In the story of Jesus' birth, they are a wonderful exclamation mark that proclaims that the light of Christ has come into the world. In following the star, they bring their lives and their gifts, both to proclaim the arrival of God's Son and to worship him. And as their gifts tell us something of Jesus' own life journey yet to come, so we read that on their journey back home, they were still guided by God. Now our nativity sets are put away for another year, and I must confess to have spent the Christmas period being slightly concerned about the fact that our four wise men were tucked into the corner of that window over there, and you had to really hunt before you could find them. And I'm not sure our wise men ever did find the manger. Epiphany reminds us that the truth of Christmas never ends, and that Jesus journeys through our lives with us. And he invites us to know his love, his joy, his peace, and his hope. And he wants us to share in that love, which brings the joy, the peace, and the hope. And he also invites us to bear his light. If in this dark, dreary period of January, although looking out of the window it's not dreary at the moment, we can open our hearts to love more, love which comes not of our own devices, but directly from our relationship with God. When we love God, it then helps us to love our neighbours as ourselves. The sacrifice Jesus made of himself for us was a gift of grace which allows us to gain entrance to God's kingdom. We do good not because we are capable, but because God is capable. Our faith, our Christianity, is a faith of relationship, of loyalty, and of love. It is a relationship with Jesus, an intimate, sacrificial, vulnerable, and committed relationship, which defines us as Christians, and a relationship which will help us to love as he wants us to love. So go home today, in love, do love, and be love. Amen.